Why don't you take your seat as God's children? The text today is 20 verses, a familiar parable. And the Word of God will be brought to us today by Andrew Perkins. It's really a beautiful day. We have two young new preachers. In the morning we had Spencer and now Andrew Perkins bringing the Word to us for the first time. Would you meekly receive the Word from his mouth, coming from the Lord himself, as you do from Pastor Eric and myself? Hear now God's word. Turn to Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. Usually I never have my Bible open to that place so that the time that I take to open, you will take to open too. Let's hear God's word. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the word of the Lord.
The on button's important. And taking a mask off with one of these things on is really hard, so I'm glad I did it okay. It's good evening. It's good to be with you all. And what an amazing word Shiv just read to us from the Gospel of Mark. As I've been preparing and praying about what to preach this evening, the Lord put this on my heart to preach about God's word. I read this passage a couple weeks ago and just was struck. I need to preach this because in this time of pandemic, for us, it's been a time of much transition. Personally, we've moved across the country. We're in a new place. The Lord has reminded me of what a treasure, what a gift, and what a necessity God's word is for all of us. So I wanted to exhort and encourage us all in that tonight. And before I do that, let me pray. Father, we thank you for this time to worship you. What a blessing it is. We thank you for the words we have already sung and read and the prayers that we've already prayed. We thank you that you have heard them and that you are with us right now. We thank you for your word and the treasure that it is. Father, I ask for you, in your grace, to guide us all, to give us hearts to receive your word right now through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So our passage tonight, we're going through Luke on Sunday mornings, but our passage tonight comes from the Gospel of Mark. It's the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, not long after Jesus has begun his public ministry. His ministry in Mark and in all the Gospels is about the kingdom of God coming with him. And he brings the kingdom, he's doing miracles, he calls disciples, he's teaching, he's doing amazing things. And a large crowd has gathered around him. A large crowd has come to follow him. Some people have come to hear what he's actually teaching. They're skeptical. And some people are his actual family. They've come to say, why are you leaving us? Why are you doing this? Well, this is the context of our parable today. All these large crowds are right on a beach. And Jesus is in a boat off of the beach because he would have probably had a hard time preaching on the beach because he was healing people and people wanted him to heal them of their diseases and illnesses. There weren't just people who were drawn to his word. There were some people who were skeptical, like I just said. And this context for the parable of the sower is similar to our context. Many of us here tonight are drawn to God's word. We come to be fed. We come to be fed by his word that he's given to us. And yet we live in a world, and there may be some of us here tonight who look at God's word with skepticism. We're unsure about what it really is, or we're unsure about if it is God's word. And so here we are. This time of the pandemic, I'm convinced that we need God's word more and more. It's an unprecedented time, and whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not, it impacts us all. I recently read a study that Shiv actually shared in his email this week about believers reading God's word less and less. It's from January to June this year. There was a study by the American Bible Society saying that Christians who believe that God's word is authoritative and central to their lives have actually decreased in their engagement with Scripture in the last 6 months. I'm not saying that is all of our experience, but I know that I've been tempted to this amidst the pandemic, and I'm sure many of us have as well. The news feed is unending. Opinions are everywhere. We talk about it in every conversation almost, and yet God tells us to listen to his word. We're tempted to turn away from God's word because we're fearful and anxious and discouraged. We might even be despairing. We might not be sure about what the future holds. And yet, we're supposed to go to God's word. Deeper still, we might hear and read the word daily, but we might not receive it in our hearts. It might not penetrate our hearts. We can tune it down and allow other voices to be louder in our hearts and minds. As I already mentioned, some of us here tonight may have never given much thought to the Bible at all. But wherever we find ourselves, all of what I'm describing of this moving away from God's word, of not listening with as much attentiveness as we could, not meditating, ultimately leads to our stumbling, spiritual stagnation, and death. We need to hear God's word, and that's what I feel convicted to share tonight. We need his word to take root in our hearts, We need his Spirit to transform us. And we need his word to guide all of our actions each and every day, especially in these unprecedented times. Amen? Amen. So in going through our passage tonight, I'm going to ask two big questions. First, what is this parable? What is this parable? And second, what ought this parable cultivate in us? So first, what is this parable? And secondly, what ought this parable cultivate in us? I don't have much time to go through all of this, so I'm not going to dive incredibly deep, but I hope to pull out the central message of this parable tonight and communicate it to you all. This parable is the first and longest of multiple parables in Mark 4. And parables, if you can define what it is, it's a short and memorable story that requires reflection and, I believe, divine intervention to understand its message and meaning. Most of them don't have explanations, but this parable does. Shiv already read it, which makes it both unique and important. In a way, it's the parable of parables. Jesus is speaking to people who know about agriculture. And I know for me, I have not been a subsistence farmer. But that's a lot of who Jesus was speaking to in this moment. So if you haven't had much experience in sowing seed, just think about sowing some grass seed and hoping that it grows. Hoping and praying that it grows. Maybe we can connect with that. But these people, this story would have captured their imaginations. And it would have spoken to their hearts in a deep and personal way. In a way that may have made them feel hungry. Our passage can be structured in this way. Verses 1 through 9 have the parable itself. 10 through 13 show the purpose of the parable. And 14 through 20, Jesus explains it. So let's walk through it now. Let me turn there. In the parable itself, Jesus calls the crowd to listen. That's the first word he says. He wants them to hear his word. He describes seed being sown by a sower. Depending on where it falls, the seed meets different ends. It either lives or it dies. It either bears fruit or it doesn't. Jesus is describing the difference between life and death here. The only seed out of the four that lasts is the seed that falls on good soil. So we can, that begs the question, what is this good soil? In verse 9, Jesus proclaims, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Here he's saying, listen to what I'm saying. He's challenging them to listen and really be ready to hear and to change because of what they hear. He's not saying, just hear this and maybe go on your way. He's saying, listen and take this to heart. He doesn't want them to tune him out in self-confidence or self-sufficiency. He wants to hear it with them to hear with open and receptive hearts. In verses 10 through 13, Jesus is alone with those around him and the 12. And that's important because he's moved from being with the crowd to being with just a smaller, intimate group of people. And here he graciously responds to their question and explains the purpose of the parable. He describes two groups. So here we go. The first group is those who he says the kingdom of God, the secret of the kingdom of God has been revealed to you by God. He's saying that you have the secret right here. Here I am. I'm with you. I say that because earlier in Mark, Jesus proclaims that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He says to repent and believe the gospel. In this intimate conversation, Jesus continues to reveal the greatness of the kingdom that he is bringing in their midst, right then and there. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Samuel, God promised an everlasting kingdom to King David and the people of God. He said, your kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom and your throne will be forever. And this is Jesus. Jesus, in saying these words, no one else has said these words since Jesus. And in doing this right now, Jesus is saying a few things. He's saying that he has brought his kingdom in a decisive way. He's saying that in speaking, he's actually speaking the words of the kingdom. His words, if you may, are the seed for the kingdom. That's what I titled the sermon. Jesus' words are the seed for the kingdom. And finally, most importantly, he is the king of the kingdom. They're in the midst of a king. The book of Hebrews says it this way. We read these this morning for our call to worship. Think about being an Israelite and hearing these words. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke by our fathers, to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. That's Jesus. The first group of people are hearing Jesus speak, the King of the kingdom. Then Jesus introduces a second group, and if you're looking at your Bibles, it's in verse 12, and he quotes the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, where it's Isaiah's call, where Isaiah is called to go preach to a people who don't hear him, who won't hear him, and who won't listen to him. It's a pretty tough call, if you ask me. Jesus calls these people those who are outside, and for them, they're only going to hear things in parables. So there's this difference here. Some people are with Jesus, and they're hearing the words of the kingdom. And some people are hearing just parables. For whatever reason, they aren't hearing. They aren't listening. They aren't taking it to heart. That's the difference that Jesus brings out here. So I ask the question, what is this parable? And I'll answer it in this way. This parable is a call and a warning. It's both a call and a warning to truly listen to the word of God. It's a call and a warning to truly listen to the word of God, which is, as I said, the seed of the kingdom. Tonight, many of us may be tired or discouraged by our circumstances. Why can't we be in that building to worship? I mean, it's beautiful out here, but why can't everyone be together? What's going on? We're in a difficult time. But let us truly listen to Jesus' words. Let us consider once again what God's word really is. It's not a dead, sterile book that is outdated. It is living and active, breathed out by God to us by his Holy Spirit. It is everlasting, unchanging, and trustworthy, because God is everlasting, unchanging, and trustworthy. It is his way of revealing himself to us. He tells us about who he is. He says, "Here I am. I love you. I've called you by name." It's his way of speaking and acting in space and time to work redemption in our world, to redeem us into right relationship with him. And finally, it's his way of establishing his kingdom and his righteousness and his justice in our world, until he comes again to make all things new, as Spencer preached about this morning. We, as recipients of this word, are called to be his Spirit-empowered witnesses to his kingdom, to his righteousness, to his gospel. And the scriptures tell us that to do that, we need to live by God's word. We need to eat it, if you may. In Deuteronomy, God tells his people that they don't live by bread alone, but by every utterance that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We may think of this coming from Jesus' mouth when he was tempted in the desert. What's Jesus doing there? He's quoting God's word. He's eaten God's word. He's taken it in. He's meditated on it. He is the living word, and he's soaked in God's word. So with this, I want us to ask ourselves tonight, what is our disposition toward God's word? What is our heart disposition towards God's word? Do our hearts long for it like we long for breakfast in the morning? I'll be honest, I fluctuate in this. Sometimes I want cereal a little bit more than the Bible. But I think reckoning with this is how we grow and how we persevere in difficult times as the Spirit helps us. Many of us approach the Word out of a place of need and expectation, but we're struggling right now. And that's okay. That's actually where Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be in a place where we need Him, where we need His Word, where we say, Lord, I need You. I need Your words this morning. You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, speak to me once again through Your Spirit, through Your Word. Guide me. On the other side, we might fall into approaching God's word with apathy or indifference, or even we might even dismiss it. We might say, these other voices are more important than God's word right now. And certainly we need to listen to people in our world and experts and all of that. But God's word is the only word of life that we've been given. God's word is the only word of life we'll ever receive. And God has given it to us. And so if I may, I would suggest that if we look at God's word with apathy and indifference, we're actually on a pathway to death, to fruitlessness. But the good news is, all He wants us to do is to say, I need You. I need Your word. Jesus says, come and drink, because from me come the rivers of living water. In our parable, He says, if you have ears to hear, listen. And tonight, He has brought us here by His Holy Spirit. He said, come and listen to me once again. That's our liturgy tonight. Hear God's word. Go home, meditate on all that we've read and seen. All we need to do, as I said, is pray and ask God to do this in us, to give us eyes and ears to hear His word and hearts to respond it, to daily read it, to listen to it. It's not too late, friends. It's not too late. Just do it. God has given us His word. So I'm already touching on this, but let's move to our second question. What ought this parable cultivate in us? If you're looking at your Bibles, you can look at verse 13. And Shiv read this how it should be read. Jesus asks the disciples a very pointed question. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Here, Jesus is saying that if they don't understand this parable, they won't understand any other parable. So this makes His interpretation, which He does give in His grace and goodness and kindness, all the more important. In a way, it's a way to look at all of His other parables. And of course it is, because it's about His word. In verses 14 through 20, He explains this parable to the 12 and those around Him. He says that the sower sows the word, and the word being sown is Jesus Christ, the promised and anointed one of God. Simply by nature of who He is, the eternal one of God, as John tells us, Jesus' seed represents the whole of Scripture. As it leads to Him and finds its fulfillment in Him, He says, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill them. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Scriptures. And He's here telling them this right now. He's telling us this too. The destination of the word is the hearts of those who hear the word. The path represents Satan immediately snatching God's word up. The rocky ground represents those who joyfully grow at first, and yet who fall away because of suffering and persecution on account of the word. The thorny ground represents those who hear the word but are choked out by the worries of the world and the deception of wealth, which leads to fruitlessness. And hearing all of these, I'm sure they sound familiar. This is very relatable to us. Who's seen things like this in your life. I know I have. These are real things. And thankfully, it's not the end of the parable, because Jesus finishes by speaking of good soil. Soil which hears and accepts the word. And like the most nutritious soil that we can think of, it produces an abundant and even unthinkable yield of produce, of fruit, for God's kingdom through his Spirit's work. So what ought this parable cultivate in us? Well, it's supposed to cultivate in us hearts of good soil. Hearts that receive God's word and do it. Hear it, receive it, and do it. And we receive it in gratitude and dependence. The first part of cultivating hearts of good soil is heeding the parable's warnings. With the path, Jesus warns us of the spiritual battle that we are all in the midst of right now. This encourages us to pray against the schemes of the devil. We have the sword of the Spirit, though. We have the armor of God. With the rocky soil, Jesus warns against lightly regarding God's word and not being in it daily, not being immersed in it. This leads us to pray for courage and to be faithful to his word in all circumstances, especially when we're going to be suffering and going through trials. This is a hard word. And yet, how do we get there? We get there through just dwelling in his word. With the thorny soil, Jesus warns against being choked out because of a divided heart, divided between the cares of this world and the allure of riches. I know this is a real temptation here in this area. It's everywhere in our world, but it's a real temptation here to be choked out from hearing God's word because we're so focused on other things. I know Jillian, my wife, and I feel this. We feel it. It's a real thing. A good way to think about this one is to evaluate what our longings and habits tell us about where our hearts really are. Do we long more for God and his word, or do we long for the things of this world? Do we long for comforts? God is where true comfort lies. Now let's consider being good soil. What does this look like? First, we need to pray and ask God to give us receptive hearts through his word and spirit. We need to pray for this. Then we need to go to him diligently and daily for his word with gratitude, humility, and expectation. Gratitude because he's given it to us. We have it here. Many of us are holding the Bible. Humility because we know we need it. An expectation that God is speaking and he will continue to speak and strengthen us through his word. We need to go to it first, and we need to go to it often. We need to go to it in the morning and in the evening. We need to meditate on it, to pray through it, to memorize it, to have our minds and hearts changed by it, to commune with God through it. God reveals himself to us through his word, and he wants us to commune with him and to light in him through his word. We need to do this not just individually, but together. God's called us into a body, and we're called to do this with each other. What a time to encourage each other in, hey, what scripture have you been reading this week? Hey, I've been reading through Mark. This is something I read that really struck me. Or, hey, I'm struggling in this. Can you pray for me today? I struggled in writing this sermon this week, if I can be honest with you, because I think the devil didn't want me to write it. But here we are, and God's hopefully going to use it. But we can lift each other up. And I shared that because I reached out to people and asked for prayer. And I felt uplifted through that. If you're anything like me at this point, you might be struggling internally with the fact that you will falter in being good soil tomorrow, maybe even tonight. You might fear being the second or third type of soil, the soil that falls away on account of persecution, or the soil that's choked out. Well, this is nothing new. The disciples faltered in this time and again. But look in the book of Acts, look through the rest of the New Testament at how God used them in their weakness to be his witnesses. He used them to be not just hearers, but doers of the word and proclaimers of the word, proclaimers of the kingdom and making disciples and all of that. God used the disciples. When we falter, all we need to do is tell God we're struggling and ask him for strength. He will supply and he will continue to bring about beautiful harvest of the kingdom. So how does this work? How does God supply when we falter? Well, not only does God give us his word in Jesus, he does it in Jesus. Jesus doesn't simply tell the disciples to hear and receive his word. He is completely faithful to it. He's completely faithful to God's word himself, because we are not. He came for that reason. He hears, receives, and does God's word. And he does this by not coming to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, for all of us. He dies on a cross to make us right with God, and he does this because he loves us. Jesus, the Word made flesh, gave himself for us. He compels both our worship and our obedience to his word. He's poured out his spirit into our hearts through his love to lead us in his ways. He calls us to abide in him and his word to bear fruit for his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, God has graciously given us his word in Christ, and he has bought us with his blood. We belong to him. He's given us his word. He calls us to hear and receive it. So here we are. Let's be the good soil. Let's bear fruit for the kingdom. Let me conclude by reading a couple verses from Isaiah chapter 55, and may this just wash over you and encourage you at God's faithfulness to his word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. Pray with me. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, and give us perseverance and courage to faithfully do it. Make this our prayer every day of our lives. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew, for that exhortation. Meal times with Samuel, our 11-month-old, is sometimes as long as a worship service. Because when we want to feed him, this is what he does. He wants to grab the food, examine it, and if he likes it, then he will eat it. What we really want him to do is open wide his mouth. He cannot understand what we instruct him, ask of him, but God is our, if you will, cosmic babysitter. He's willing to sit with us. Even when we cannot understand his word, he's willing to persevere with us until we open wide our mouths that he may fill it. This table, as we come to this table, this is God's food for our souls, so that we may grow up to the day when we can understand his instruction. Until that day, he will continue to babysit us. He will not forsake us. He did not forsake Jonah, as disobedient as he was. Let's pray and thank our Father. Father, we thank you for your great perseverance with us, for your love for us, for you seat us on your lap because of our big brother, Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us, who was forsaken so that we may be forgiven. We thank you for this meal that seals on our hearts your love. I pray that as we partake of this word that has become flesh, the grain that was sown and grows up to yield bread, as we eat of the bread of life, that you may give life, the very life of Christ, that we may hear his word and heed his word. In Christ's name, amen.